Our reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 9, and we'll read down through verse 14. Paul said concerning God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This epistle was Paul's last letter that he wrote before he died. So it's a very important letter. He tells Timothy, in effect, in this letter, to do what he himself had done. And what I'm referring to is the fact that Paul kept on believing to the very end. He never quit. He never gave up. He never turned his back on Jesus Christ. That's why he said toward the end of this letter, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. So Paul is telling Timothy in this letter, do what I've done, Timothy. Don't give in. Don't give up. Keep on enduring to the very end, even though you're going to face many trials in life. So Paul was a great example of enduring all the hardships of life, and he tells Timothy in this letter, to hold on to the truth. Don't give it up for anybody or anything. Make sure that you hold on to the gospel, because the gospel is the only teaching that will save men's souls. So how important is that gospel? Well, that's what Paul tells us in these verses that we just read. Notice in verse 9 that Paul reminds us that God saved us by his grace. He says he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. The Bible says in Titus 3, verses 3 through 5, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. And of course, you've got those famous words found in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in Romans 3, 23, that all have sinned. So no man can earn heaven. No man's works are perfect. So works alone can never save a man. He says, we are not saved by our works. That means by perfect works, by works alone. This is a case, like many others, where we have to take the whole Bible into account, because the Bible also tells us in James 2, verses 14 through 26, that faith without works is dead. And in James 2, 26, the Bible says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So there are two extremes when it comes to works and salvation. Some would have you to believe that works are everything. And some would have you to believe on the other end of the spectrum that works are nothing. So the truth on faith and works comes when we take the whole Bible into account, like the verses that we're looking at right now. It's interesting in verse 9 that the Bible tells us that God planned for man's salvation before he ever created the world. This is something so far above our comprehension that it's hard to even grasp the words that we're looking at. The Bible says that God's purpose and grace were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God foreknew, we would say, and the Bible sometimes uses that word, that man would sin. God knew before he ever created the world that man would sin, that Jesus would die on the cross, and that men would be saved because of the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, that Jesus was ordained as the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world. So God had already made plans. He already knew what he was going to do to save man from his sins before Genesis 1, verse 1 ever occurred. Now, this is the God that we're talking about. This is the God that we serve. And that's the nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God didn't wait until Adam and Eve sinned to come up with a plan of salvation. He didn't wait until the time of Abraham or Moses to figure out how he was going to save man. He already knew that before he ever created the world. And yet, even though God had planned for man's salvation before the world began, still we choose to be saved or lost. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 40, that Peter told the people on Pentecost Day, "Save yourselves from this untoward, that is, this crooked generation." In Philippians 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, how can this be? How can it be the case that God already knew before he created the world that man would sin, and yet we at the same time do choose whether we're saved or lost? Well, this is a fact of the Bible, but it's beyond our comprehension. And that certainly doesn't take away from the fact that it is a Bible truth. Now, in verse 10, the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, he abolished death. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, "But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death." Now, obviously, people die today. And so death is still here. So what does the Bible mean here when it says that Jesus abolished or destroyed death? Well, it means that he abolished the power and also the fear of death. I believe a good commentary on this is found in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. The Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," that is Jesus himself, "likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And of course, ultimately, there will be no more dying. Jesus overcame death when he died on the cross and rose from the dead and declared victory over death. In verse 11, Paul reminds us that he had a big responsibility to teach this gospel that we're talking about. He said that he was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and also a teacher of the Gentiles. The Bible says in Acts 9, verse 15, that Paul was a chosen vessel. And here the Bible says that Paul was a teacher of the Gentiles. And you may remember that Paul said that he was the apostle of the Gentiles. Romans 11, verse 13. That means that he went to them mostly. Now, he did teach Jews, obviously, and you read about that in the book of Acts, but his primary work was going outside of Judea and outside of Jerusalem to teach people in other places, especially Gentile people. In verse 12, the Bible tells us that Paul's work in preaching the gospel brought him a lot of suffering. Paul had more hardships than we can appreciate. And again, this is a major theme in this book of 2 Timothy. As a matter of fact, what I want to do right now is to survey this book and look at a few of these major themes that we've talked about. First of all, I want you to notice how much Paul talks in this last letter that he wrote about enduring hardships and suffering. Let's start with chapter 1, verse 8. There's where he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And then down in chapter 1, verse 12 that we're looking at right now, he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Now turn with me to chapter 2. And notice in chapter 2, verse 3, that Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness or hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Skip on down to verse 9 of chapter 2, where Paul says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer." So Paul suffered hardship. In chapter 2, verse 10, Paul said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." All the things that he endured, all the sufferings that he had in his life were for Christian people. In chapter 2, verse 12, Paul said, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." Then in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Then in chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says that he had persecutions and afflictions. In chapter 3, verse 12, in this famous verse, Paul says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Then in chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." Chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, "I have fought a good fight." Chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." And then in these sad words in chapter 4, verse 16, Paul said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." What a tragedy that was, and what a sad time that was in Paul's life when these people ran out on him. But in the midst of all this, Paul's attitude and his confidence is in verse 17 of chapter 4. "Notwithstanding, in spite of all these sufferings," he said, "the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." And then in verse 18, he said, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory and honor forever and ever." So here are some of the verses in this book that show that Paul really has on his mind to tell Timothy that he's going to have to endure a lot of hardship. This life is full of heartache, it's full of pain, and it's full of a lot of affliction for the child of God. But Paul says, you can endure. And you notice Paul's confidence in verse 12 of chapter 1, going back to this text. Paul says, "I know whom I have believed." That means that Paul knew him in a personal way, in an intimate sense. "I know him, I know Jesus Christ, and I'm persuaded, I'm confident, that Jesus is able to keep that which I have committed unto him, that is, my soul." Paul had entrusted his very soul to Jesus, and he said, "I'm confident that Jesus will keep my soul against that day," that is, the day of judgment, the final day. Jesus will be faithful to him. And finally, you notice again in verses 13 and 14 that Paul tells Timothy to hold on to the truth. In verse 13, "Hold fast the form," that is the pattern of sound words. There is a fixed set of teaching in the Bible, a form or a pattern of sound words, and we're not to deviate from it. The Lord committed this to Timothy, the Bible tells us in verse 14. Into his hands the gospel was given. So God help every gospel preacher today to hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ.